Hello, it's Alan O'Donoghue, and this is my podcast that I've been recording all about how I'm teaching my Year 10 GCSE computing class. Each week I record two or three what I've actually done in two or three lessons each week, because my class have got two lessons in week A and three lessons in week B, and then I just record this, and that's why you listen to it. What am I rambling on about? So I teach at Our Lady's Catholic High School, Fulwood in Preston. I don't have a degree in computing science. I don't consider myself a computer scientist, but it's something that I'm aspiring to develop and become more proficient in. As part of my journey in doing that, I'm recording these podcasts, these little episodes about what I'm doing, in the hope that other people listening can tune in, listen, and make compliments or comments or tell me that I'm doing it wrong and help me shape my lessons into doing the things that I should be doing. So this week in my lessons with Year 10, we've had two, lessons 14 and lessons 15. So each week on a Monday, first lesson of the day on the Monday morning, we do computing theory. In the last week, we'd been looking at environmental issues, and I decided to pick up on this again in this Monday's lesson. So I had three aims for Monday's lesson, which was the environmental issues, for and against, which was something I'd set for a homework. I also wanted to introduce the concept of a CPU and the fetch and execute cycles of a CPU. Let me just have a drink of water. Ah, that's better. So one little thing I do is each time I set a homework where they have to write something on paper or in their books, I ask them to take their homeworks out and show it to others and compare and see if anybody did anything differently from what they did. And while they're doing that and they're talking to each other about their homework, I quickly run around the class and I, with my clipboard, although it's not a clipboard, but, you know, I make a note of who's done their homework and who hasn't. So their homework, they had to make a list of environmental issues to do with computers and creating computer systems, things for and things against. And I asked them then to spend a couple of moments transferring those into their book while we picked up on a couple of them. Generally, most of them were sound arguments that they'd put for or against. Then we stopped that, and I then got them to refer back to something we'd previously talked about a few weeks ago, which was this concept of computers having input, process, and output. But the way I did it was, I drew the diagram on the board, like a system diagram. Here's three boxes, they're linked together with arrows. And I asked different children in the class, what's the first one? Input, that's right. And the last one, output, yeah. And what do we call the thing in the middle? Process. Well, today we're going to focus on process. So I asked them all if they'd ever heard of a CPU. Pretty much everybody in the class heard what a CPU, they'd heard of it. But when I asked them, I said, right, 10 seconds, try and agree with your partner what CPU stands for. Lots of blank expressions. They were able to tell me that the P stood for process or processor, but they didn't really know what the C or the U stood for. And we had some people guessing that C stood for computing or computer. So we had things like computer processing, computer process. So taking the mystery out of it, I said, well, CPU stands for central processing unit. And when we talk about the CPU, we can talk about it having a number of parts, some storage, the processor, some cache, and then the main memory. But all of these together tend to form the CPU. Now, I said I'm going to describe an analogy, but it's not a very, very good one. But if we're talking about the computer being a body, we could say that the CPU, it works a little bit like the brain. And so I asked the children, a few seconds with your partner, what does the brain do in a body? So they were saying things like, it controls the heart, muscles, helps you store things, remember things, tells you what to do, that sort of thing. So yeah, well, a CPU in a computer does those kind of things. It controls different things. It moves things into memory. It moves things out of memory. It processes instructions. It can calculate things. It can make decisions. So I then clarified, I drew this diagram, input, process, output. And for processor, I filled it in with storage, processor, cache, CPU, main memory, that sort of thing, and asked them to copy that diagram down. So then I decided to focus more clearly on the processor and what actually happens inside a processor. So I described this loop that happens where the processor fetches an instruction, it then has to decode the instruction, then it executes the instruction. But I didn't use those words to begin with. So I used myself as a CPU, and I asked them to give me certain instructions to do, like to stand, sit up, sit down. And in fact, it's coming back to me now. I remember this bit, I was struggling a little bit to get them to come to terms with it. So I just said, right, everybody stand up. And they looked at me with blank expressions. I said, come on, stand up. So they all stood up, said, right, now sit down. Then I, to really confuse them, they were all sat down and I shouted and I gesticulated upwards like I was pointing up. I said, okay. And then I went, what did I say? Something like, maintenant, classe, asseyez-vous. And I pointed upwards, gesticulating for them to stand. But what I was actually doing was I was telling them French to sit down. So most of the class stood up. One or two looked a bit perplexed, said, sir, you're telling us to sit down and we're already sat down. I said, ah. So I said, what's going on there? And they said, well, you're telling us an instruction, but it's not one that we're used to. So we're having to think about what it means. Great. So you're having to decode the instruction. When I told you to stand up, you're so used to hearing that, it didn't really need much decoding. So I tried a few different languages and this sort of thing. So I said, so I'm giving you an instruction. You're then having to decode that instruction and then you're executing it. Now, when we say execute, we sometimes mean to kill something or to kill, an item or a person. But execute can also mean to do something. Then I said, right, I'm going to give you a few more instructions. Now I want you in your head to think, what's 2 plus 2? As soon as you know the answer, put your hand up. Of course, they got it straight away. So let's try 2 plus 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 2 16 times. As soon as you've got it, put your hand up. So we had wild guesses that were all over the place. Eventually, when somebody got the right answer, brilliant. How did you work that out? Well, I just added them together in my head. So how long do you think that took? So we tried another one. We timed it this time, about 5 or 6 seconds. So I said, right, now let's try. So we've been using integers. Now let's try 32.6 times 124.8. And there was a long, noticeable pause. How can we work it out? So I said, we can get a calculator out. Oh, okay, so how long would that take? So I said, right, now, what you're doing is, we're doing in our head, we're trying to do floating point operations, which is like a decimal. We're trying to time one by the other. Well, I said, how quickly do you think a computer can do that? So they said, in a second. I said, what, you think it takes a computer? 1 second. So I said, let's see, what sort of clock speed do you think the computers have got in this room? So we managed to figure out, we thought they were around about 3 gigahertz, the processors. So I said, well, what does that actually mean? So somebody was saying it does 3 things a second or whatever. No. So I then wrote on the board, 3 gigahertz as 3.2, 3200000000 hertz. What's a hertz? So I said that's like a cycle per second. So actually, no, a computer can do a floating point operation in a 0.000000032 of a second. And there was a pause. They were like trying to comprehend the number, that sort of magnitude. So the point I was trying to explain to them was that computers are amazingly, blisteringly fast at processing and decoding and executing instructions. So I then asked them to summarize these points in their book. And what else? That was pretty much it. I mean, we just spent a little bit more time trying to checking, did they understand exactly what I was talking about, what Hertz was, and why did it begin with a capital H? That's because it was named after a person. Let's find out who that person was. It's cycles per second, and that was pretty much it for most of that lesson. And then I set them a homework. So I said, right, for homework, I want you to find two examples of computers for me, but I want you to bring these in on a piece of paper. So you're going to print it out, or you're going to rip a page out of a magazine. And we want to find an example of a low-spec computer and a high-spec computer. So the high-spec is probably going to cost quite a bit of money. I said, if you're looking for a low-spec computer, some of you might want to bring in a specification for the Raspberry Pi. So that was our theory lesson on Monday. And then on Tuesday, we had our programming lesson, where we've been learning to program with Python. Now, this week in our programming lesson, the focus was from the specification for GCSE computing, children have to be able to use suitable loops. So again, this week I've given them now a few lines of code. So this piece of code I've given them just two lines. It says, for I in range, open bracket 0, comma 3, close bracket, colon. And then on the next line I said, print I. So I said, there's a piece of code. What do you think is going to happen? So I want you to talk to your partners. And then after a few moments, I want you to talk to make a larger group. Come up with a theory. Come on, what's going to happen? We've never done this before. What do you think is going to happen? So some children were saying, it's not going to work. I said, what do you mean it's not going to work? You're going to get a syntax error because for I in range, we haven't told it what I is. Ah, so it's not going to work. So let's just say it was Luke that said that. So hands up in the class. Who agrees with Luke? Are we going to get a syntax error? Now, Luke tends to get things right in this class. So the overwhelming majority of the class put their hand up just because such a thing. Oh, well, if Luke's normally right, he's probably going to be right on this occasion. But one or two people said, no, it's not. So, okay, Alex, why are you saying that Luke's not right? Oh, well, I just don't want to go along with all of the rest of the sheep in the class. Okay, so that's one good reason, but give us another reason. He said, well, maybe it'll work because you've written it on the board. Right, so we don't actually know. So I then said, right, now I want you to try it and see what happens. So the result was, for I in range 0, 3, it prints three numbers. It prints 0, then 1, then 2. But it doesn't print 3. Now, some children actually said earlier, I just remember that it would go 1, 2, 3. So then I made some changes to it. Actually, thinking about it, the first time I showed it, it just said for I in range 10, actually, in brackets. And now I remember they were saying that it wouldn't work because for a range, you'd have to have the beginning of the range and the end of the range, and I just had the number 10, and they didn't think that would work. Or maybe I did that the second time round. Anyway, I did it one way and the other, and they were saying, no, it wouldn't work because I wasn't telling it the full range, and no, it did work. And it went 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. So then I did a few other things. So I had for I in range 0, 3, colon, print I. And then on the third line, being a bit crafty now, I had I equals I plus 1. What's going to happen now? So they said, oh, it'll just print 0, then it'll add 1 onto it, then it'll do it a second time, and it'll stop. Right, so we tried it, and no, it didn't. It did something else. It went 0, 1, 1, 2, 2, 3, 3, and we did it. It was I equals I minus 1. So I said, will this ever finish? So we ended up with quite a few interesting discussions around this. And then that was about the first sort of 10, 15 minutes of the lesson. I then gave them a challenge where they had to design some code in their book. So they had to write a program that was going to ask the user their name and then say hello to the user. Then it was going to ask the user for one number and then a second number. Then it was going to add the numbers together. So the first thing to do was they had to write this code out in their book, how they think it would work. Once I'd given them a few minutes to write in the book, said, right, now you can turn on your computers, you can test it. Now once you've tested it, you're going to try and get it to work. Show your partner what you've done. Now you need to add some comments into it. So we basically spent the next part of the lesson working around how we add things to the for loops. And then for homework, I asked them to look at the invent with Python. I said, there's chapter 5 where it uses four loops, and it creates jokes using loops. So for homework, I want them to read chapter 5 and follow the examples in the book. And there we have it. Now, so that's lessons 14 and 15. I'm happy to carry on recording this, and I can do this all year. What we're going to have, about something like 60 lessons altogether, because we have 40 weeks, and we're going to have about 100 episodes altogether of this. So let me know if you like it, if you think I need to be doing something different, if you want me to try stuff out in the lesson. A couple of people have requested that I share the scheme of work, so yeah, I'm going to do that. I'll share that through the Computing at School community. And I'm just wondering now about whether I should be arranging something like a hangout every couple of weeks. So I could have this, say, on a Monday evening. People could join the hangout. We could record it. We could put it on YouTube. Let me know what you think. So if you want to get in touch, you can send me an email. It's alan@odonoghue.org.uk. There's lots of O's in O'Donoghue, so you'll have to Google it to find it. You can tweet me @technoteacher, T-E-K-N-O teacher. You can also read my blog, which is teachcomputing, all one word, .wordpress.com. Be good to hear your thoughts. You can let me know what you think. Thanks for listening. Bye.